if that were the case, with 60-some percent of the people being non-smokers, they would have little difficulty in convincing the owner and managers and whatever of all of these businesses and all the ones named in this bill and so forth, that it would be in their best interest to not allow smoking. But they apparently have not done so. They have come back to the legislature, and when the legislature mandates something that can be done, and by the way, is being done in some cases, without any legislative mandate. I think most people, I agree, when a sign is posted, no smoking, they don't smoke. In some cases, it's not a mandatory thing in the sense that maybe they didn't want to subject their customers to arrest, so they have put a sign up rather than saying no smoking in compliance with the statute. They say, please do not smoke, or something of that nature, so that it is in strict compliance with the statute. But again, in the markets and so forth, very, very seldom do you see anyone smoking. This legislation really is a lot more comprehensive than the previous testimony would lead you to believe, and I think will create some significant problems. There were some questions early on that I think just scratched the surface, but the major difference, of course, is that you're imposing this upon the private sector. Without exception, really without a lot of study, a lot of thought, a lot of discussion from the people, and I think it's going to cause some horrendous problems that we don't anticipate. By the way, the testimony in committee that I heard last year indicated that these popular air purifying devices and so forth would not be sufficient to clear the air. I think that best example of that, I think, was that a legislator was sitting in front of one and smoking in a committee hearing, and was subsequently cited by the Department of Environmental Conservation after a complaint was issued by a private citizen. I don't know what the result of that was, but I think you'll find that compliance is going to be a lot more difficult and costly, because it will require in many cases, structural changes in the building to provide these smoke-free areas. Maybe additional buildings will have to be constructed. Not only state buildings, but private and so forth. I don't think that, for instance, that the present gallery of the state legislature would comply with the bill. I understand that the State Employees Association has taken a position now that they do not take a position on this bill. And I don't think they took a position last year, except that there was testimony in two committees by the executive director of the State Employees Association, not being for or against the bill, but just to inform the legislature that if this bill passes, it would require a renegotiation of this contract with employees with the state of Alaska because of the change in the workplace.
Could you explain that to me? What do you mean? What would be the change in the workplace?
Well, I assume that at the present time, in most cases, smokers are allowed to smoke and at their workstation. Presumably now, if they are smokers, you would have to provide them either a place where they could smoke or a workplace where they could smoke, or you would have to provide them an area where they could smoke and time in which to go and smoke.
Or you just prohibit smoking. You just tell them they can't do that.
Well, I assume if you do that, then that is such a change in their workplace. I don't know. This is not my testimony. I'm merely citing what was said before, that the executive director of the State Employees Association said that they would consider it such a change in the workplace that they would have to renegotiate the contract. compliance, as I mentioned, I think would be substantial. In some places, particularly the more remote areas of the state, I think it's going to be almost impossible for them to do so. And I don't think that we have the problems there now that maybe some of these people here today are properly reflecting. People have gotten along for years in the state and have not had the problems, and I think that some of these businesses that are really not aware of the impact of this legislation, they generally think that it might be a good idea, but when they're forced to comply with these regulations, and by the way, they merely state that they have to comply with a set of regulations that DEC has yet to come up with, apparently, and I understand they're quite stringent, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for them to be in compliance. When that happens, there's going to be a comments, I'm sure, by those people. By the way, there was also a mention made by about San Francisco in previous testimony, and there was a well-publicized issue of election and so forth. But the San Francisco bill is not quite as restrictive as even this legislation. And to my understanding, Alaska is one of only 9 states, not cities or so forth, within states, as I mentioned previously. There are some 30-some probably laws, ordinances, or so forth in states, but only 9 states have in any way restricted, and even the present legislation is within the toughest of those 9 states, possibly only 1 or 2 others that tougher legislation than the existing legislation. I think that's all. But I'll leave this and I'll try to get those court cases for you.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Don Allen.
Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Representing the Lunderson's motion?
Yes, I'm Don Allen. I'm on the State Board of Directors with the Alaska Lung Association. Our Executive Director in Anchorage has asked me to mention a few points. I have 4 that you can see that I'd like to mention to the committee. Before I mention that, I'd like to point out that there is an organization that the Lung Association has worked closely with in Anchorage, which is the Council on Smoking Lung Health, which is also now called the H84 Coalition, and we have a group of 22, or perhaps more by this time, organizations in the Anchorage area, many of which are statewide organizations, that are in favor of this legislation. And there are a number of those organizations that have passed resolutions in favor of this legislation, in addition to those that Gary Miller mentioned in his testimony. We'll certainly be providing you with that information in the near future if this is not already been provided by our Anchorage office. House Bill 84 is designed to protect the non-smoker in an enclosed area while still providing some accommodation for the smoker. Yes?
I have a question. Are you going to read the whole statement? I'm already 10 minutes over time for another meeting.
I have 4 brief points to mention, which will take about less than 4 minutes.
Okay.
It's not a lengthy presentation. There are 4 points that I'd like to mention. The first of them is that the majority of smokers, as well as non-smokers, favor such protection. A 1983 Gallup poll showed that 55% of the smokers and 82% of non-smokers felt smokers should refrain from smoking while in the presence of non-smokers. The same survey showed that the vast majority of smokers and non-smokers would support limiting smoking to designated areas, including in the workplace. The second point really concerns the growing evidence that tobacco smoke poses a health hazard for non-smokers as well as for smokers. And I won't go into any detail on that except to say that non-smokers may involuntarily smoke up to a half pack per day. today in this environment. Young children or people suffering from heart, lung, or allergic diseases are particularly susceptible to the negative effects of secondhand smoke. Our third point concerns the development, smoke-free environments are cost-effective to the public and to the private sector. William L. Weiss, the associate professor of economics at Seattle University, notes in a report to the Fifth World Conference on Smoking and Health that most major private sector employers in Seattle are implementing restrictive smoking policies. The reasons? Smokers take 50% more sick leave than non-smokers. Smoking substantially increases the cost of maintaining air circulation equipment and cleaning in general. And the conflict between smokers and non-smokers is creating serious employee morale problems. I understand that this is now the number one complaint that employees have to their employers, non-smokers complaining about smoking in the workplace on a nationwide basis. With regard to existing legislation and its enforcement, Sacramento has adopted one of the first non-smoker ordinances in the country. Their mayor, Ann Rudin, says that costs are almost non-existent. Businesses appreciate a smoke-free environment, and most smokers readily respect no-smoking signs. Non-smokers actually carry out most enforcement by reminding smokers of the ordinance, and police intervention is rarely ever called for. In conclusion, our last and final point is that limiting smoking helps smokers cut back or quit and discourages non-smokers from starting. The latter is particularly important because young people are continuously bombarded by advertising that suggests that smoking is a desirable activity. Public and private decisions to limit smoking provide a strong counterpoint to this measure. That's all my testimony unless there are questions.
I might just mention to the other members that today I received a letter from the Alaska Lung Association from the Six Four Points and it has some very useful attachments on other aspects of what was discussed today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
I have no other persons who have signified a desire to testify. Sir?
May I take 2 minutes, sir?
You may take 2 minutes. I don't know if Senator Fisher can stay.
One minute. You had the list up front by the time I came in, and I wasn't sure. My name is Jeff Bowman, and I'm just speaking for myself. Several things are very important to me about the bill, and I'm totally in favor of it. I'm particularly concerned that it not fail to emphasize the importance of eliminating secondary smoke in all grocery or other food dispensary or preparation areas. I think that's a terribly critical area. And I would like to point out, just in response to testimony left earlier, that the legislation towards a private sector that this bill may represent is really intended solely for the non-smoker. It's not intended to inflict damage on restaurateurs or others. The idea that people have gotten along in the past without such legislation, I think, is simply not mindful of the fact that the act of lighting a cigarette can be, to those who are uncomfortable with secondary smoke, an aggressive act. And in order to respond to it without any kind of legislation, there is no good way other than to simply ask them not to, and often that's not going to be successful. So what this does is it provides a basis for people to respond to that act with something other than a rather insufficient plea or help. And finally, I would like to commend the bill for the effort it makes to have groups identify within themselves places where smoking can and cannot occur, because I think much of the concern about cost of compliance will be eliminated when people are able to reasonably discuss and meet the requirement of the bill to have a space, when that's clearly identify arrangements in the absence of technically sufficient ventilation areas that will allow them to work in these environments. Thank you.
Thank you. So, gentlemen, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to ask if there's going to be a spot here where I can go on the record for two proposed amendments.
I would suggest this, very frankly. I'd like to move the bill along because I have it under referral, but in view of the hour, considering that perhaps we should do that on Monday. And that would give, since there are several pages in this, and since several of the witnesses want to make additional submissions.